You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, cheerful, cherry-cheeked cherubs checking for chestnuts to chew on. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 234, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your original organisms orchestrating and organizing ornaments to orate unorthodoxly.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
It's our season finale.
Woo! We made it.
We did it again. Yeah. We did it again. Thanks to all of you who have participated in my Wordle logic challenge this season. I made three Wordle logic puzzles or logic puzzles inspired by Wordle. And it was in a couple of the past episodes. And if you want to play along or revisit or, check them out, you can go to goodjobbrain.com and you'll see like a scrolling Wordle thing and you can click on it. Congratulations to all who have completed the challenge. Feel free to tweet at us or post on our Facebook fan group about how you went about solving those puzzles. I've been kind of contacting the people who have been tweeting about it, be like, oh, how did you solve it? Just out of curiosity. So check that out on our site. And we are going to do something very different for today's episode. So throughout the history of Good Job Brain, we've only had three unaired episodes. I'm going to test you guys.
I remember one was the Quentin Tarantino episode.
It was a Kickstarter backer request, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a little hyper-focused, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the format and our quizzes, it just didn't really work that well. So we actually reconfigured that episode. That was very early on. Mm-hmm. One episode was completely lost.
There was one where your laptop got stolen, right?
Yeah. Looking at the titles of our episodes, there's one that's missing from the numbers.
Because we might find it again. And we might be able to put it back.
Yeah, it'll surface on the dark web somewhere. Yeah.
And there is one episode we simply forgot that we had recorded. I was going through my external hard drive and I was like, what is this? Oh, we already recorded one episode back in 2018. And this is for All Quiz, I believe, 205. We just forgot that we did it.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Very special today. We're going to air that episode from the vault. As you listen through today's episode.
Before you start composing your emails, tweets, Facebook posts, listen all the way to the end.
We'll play the original unaired episode and then we'll reconvene after that episode to review and to reminisce and to talk about maybe some corrections. I think there are many of them. As you listen through the episode, see if you can find all the outdated references. So it's like a scavenger hunt.
I like it. Well, before we dive into the vault, like Scrooge McDuck style here, before we dive into the vault for the back episode, I have been called to the carpet once again for an installment of our errors, corrections, omissions segment that we affectionately call.
Actually.
So on our Circles episode, Going in Circles, I was talking very excitedly about Rouleau polygons.
Yeah.
And this was in the context of the manhole dad trivia discussion. So I was mentioning that the concept of a curve of constant width, a shape that no matter how you rotate it, is always have the same width across. And in addition to a circle, there are the family of Rouleau polygons. And I talked about two in particular, and I got these right, of course. These are the prototypical, the Rouleau triangle, which is a triangle, equilateral triangle.
They're like inflated. And,
yeah, balloon-style triangle, yeah.
Balloon, mm-hmm. Yeah, balloon triangle.
And the 11-gon, the Rouleau 11-gon, hendecagon shape used on the Canadian $1 coin. So those two, in addition to being good examples of Rouleau polygons, are importantly, those are odd-sided polygons. Mm. And in my excitement, by definition, a rouleau polygon must have an odd number of sides.
Which all makes fine. Sense, actually.
It does make sense.
It really does. It does make sense. As Chris noted, as you rotate it, one side is kind of curved. It's opposite the point. So any talk of a rouleau hexagon, just abject foolishness on my part. So please ignore that.
You're too hard on yourself. I think we're all too excited. Thanks to David on our Good Job Brain Lobetrotters fan group who pointed this out.
Absolutely.
And a bunch of other people who piled on. This brings us to our episode, which we're going to play from the vault. And so let's travel back in time to 2018. Yeah, when we actually recorded this episode at Colin's house in person all together. Let's travel back in time. Hello, meritorious merrymakers and merpeople. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 205, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your medley of meddlesome medalists who meditate about medusoids.
Oh, huh. I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
I'm Chris.
Let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot. And here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card. Not that random because, it was the leftover card from last episode.
Yes.
But both cards were randomly chosen from the box. This is from Trivial Pursuit Genus 4.
Ah, yes.
I took a quick glance. I think some things might have changed since then.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
Okay, all right.
All right, you guys have your buzzers ready. Listeners have your mental buzzers ready. Here we go. Blue Wedge for People and Places. What's the only country in Southeast Asia to never be ruled by a European nation? I've talked about this before in a segment.
Yeah, we should know that. The only country to never be ruled by...
Segment was about food.
Southeast Asia.
I'm not going to venture a guess on this.
Probably not Vietnam. France,
and I believe it's not... I don't think it's Thailand.
It's not Singapore because they had...
Yeah,
British.
Right. We're all overthinking it.
You actually said it. The answer is Thailand.
Thailand? Okay. Thailand.
Yep. This is where Pad Thai came from. Pad Thai was a big part of invention to kind of strengthen the nationalistic,
I remember you were saying it was like an ad hoc national dish,
because
right?
Because it was like, hey, we stood, we've never been, settled or colonized by a European nation.
That's
we
definitely.
We made some delicious noodles.
Yeah. This is like, let's have our own identity. Pink Wedge for Arts and Entertainment. Here we go. What spineless cartoon superhero fights evil with the help of Snot and Peter Puppy? Chris.
Is it Plastic Man?
No.
Spineless cartoon superhero.
Fights evil with the help of Snot.
Snot.
Peter Puppy.
Oh, no.
Oh, is it Earthworm Jim?
Correct!
Oh my goodness! Oh, wow!
Earthworm Jim.
I was
Jim.
Like, who's spineless?
Yeah, I was like, jellyfish.
Yeah. It's like SpongeBob, he's not a superhero.
Yeah,
video
right?
game character SpongeBob originally, also, yeah. So I wouldn't think of him as
yeah,
a video
exactly.
game
that was my clue.
A
was
cartoon.
Like, we might know more of a game character.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, Yellow Edge for history. What 1992 event has been called the costliest natural disaster in U.S. history?
92.
Ooh. Colin.
92. Well, I was going to say the Exxon Valdez, but that's not natural. So, Hurricane Andrew.
Correct. Hurricane Andrew.
It's probably different now.
I think it's different.
Yeah. Katrina has
got
to have
exceeded. Katrina has exceeded.
Harvey was probably pretty bad.
You're right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Brown Wedge for Science and Nature. How many nostrils...
I like this question already. Yeah. I like it already. I'm sorry.
Grace an elephant's trunk.
How many nostrils grace an elephant's trunk?
Dana.
Two?
It is two.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I was like, wait, they don't usually do trick questions.
I think most people think it's one tube.
I see. Okay, two. That's the trick.
In
right.
my head, I have Dumbo.
Got it.
And so he has two little notes.
Yeah,
it's
not a hose.
I was like, is there a secret third? But I was
right.
Green Wedge.
The ground.
Yeah.
The ground nostril.
Yeah.
Oh, you see this in your newer elephants. Yeah. Some of these elephants are pre-code. They're not going to have that third nostril. Yeah. Be careful what you plug in there.
Green Wedge for Sports and Leisure. What did Chris Sabo shower the field with when his bat broke in a July 31st, 1996 game? Huh. Chris.
I'm going to say sawdust.
Incorrect.
No. What?
Well, this was one of the loaded bat explosions. Yeah. I believe his was the little super balls, right? It was like little rubber balls. It wasn't corked, or was it a cork bat?
It says cork.
It was cork. Okay.
I don't understand this question at all. Can someone explain it?
Colin can explain it better than me.
So there are, first of all, I would say this is a hotly debated issue whether this is good science or bad science.
Okay.
But either way.
There is a longstanding tradition among some ball players who believe that if you hollow out your baseball bat, which again, in major leagues, by regulation, it must be solid wood. Those are the rules. Solid wood bat. Mm-hmm. So they believe that if you hollow out the bat and replace it with a less dense or springier substance, that you will improve your chances of hitting big shots, because depending on your reasoning, it's either or both, that it's a lighter, faster swing so you can increase your velocity, but of course the scientists will point out, well, you're dropping mass, which means you're not imparting as much energy, or you're replacing it with something that's springier, like cork or rubber balls, so you're increasing the coefficient of restitution, which again, some of the science is not so clear on that. Sammy Sosa was famously caught for this as well. Like, he had a shattered bat, and then the ump is like, wait, let me take a look at that, because you can see bits of cork in the middle of the bat.
Well, do the shattered bats incidents happen more because they're hollow bats?
Yes, they do.
That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it is. It's super dumb because you're going to get in so much trouble if you get caught.
Okay. All right. Last question. Wild card. Orange Wedge. What did Willie Sutton claim he never said when asked, quote, why do you rob banks? Why do you rob banks? What is the answer?
I believe that the quote is some variation of, because that's where they keep the money.
Because that's where the money is.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
He didn't say
it.
He denied saying it. All right. Good job, brains. Guess what, everyone? It's episode 205. Every fifth episode, we don't have a overarching topic or a theme. It's an all quiz. So all of us have created quizzes and puzzles to challenge each other and also trying to stump you guys, listeners. So today is our all quiz number 41.
All right, well, I will start us off. I think I have a first for our show, certainly a first for me, which is I think I may have put together the first combination sports and non-sports quiz. You can approach it from both angles and hopefully still have a good time.
Wow, okay.
All right, we'll see how this plays out. So please have a good attitude. Bear with me. I think this will be fun. This will be fun.
I don't know what's going to happen. All right. But let's
start. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of backstory here. So as you guys know, I am a big basketball fan. I watch a lot of NBA. This is the fourth year in a row. It is the Golden State Warriors playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is the first time that's ever happened in the North American pro sports of these same two teams meeting 4 years in a row for the championship. Huh. So have that, you know, on your trivia radar, because that could easily pop up.
Oh.
This year in the NBA, there was a innovation, if you will, a debut, a marketing innovation on the jerseys this year for the first time, again, in any of the four major North American pro sports leagues. There are ads, or logos at least, on the jerseys. Oh. On the players' jerseys, there are corporate logos.
Okay.
And I'm not just talking about, you know, the Nike logo because they make the jersey. I'm talking about international style. If you watch like English Premier League, they have a giant airline logo.
Emirates.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Emirates is a very famous one. The NBA, they started floating this idea a few years ago, I think just to kind of gauge people's reaction. And what's a little bit of a different wrinkle on it is that the teams themselves are allowed to negotiate these sponsorships, which, you know, which makes sense. It's
not
their, not the league, exactly, which is a little bit of an interesting twist on it. So the league said, yes, we will allow this. There are limitations. It's like a 2.5 by 2.5 inch bounding area. It's in the same spot on the jersey. But within those, you know, limitations, the team can go out and get their own deals. Like a lot of sports stuff, most of these sponsors are hometown sponsors, right? It makes sense. It's like it's your local team. You get it in front of the people there. Over half of the teams in the NBA have decided to go ahead and do this and sign big deals, a lot of money for the team. So I put together a quiz for you guys. I'm going to tell you who the corporate sponsor is.
Oh.
And I want you guys to tell me. All I'm really looking for is the city here.
Okay.
So this is, pretend it's a non-sports quiz. Like we've had these at Pub Quiz. It's match the corporation to their headquarters hometown. Yeah. All of these companies, well, virtually all of them are household names. We'll start off with an easy one here. So I'm gonna read you the question. You write down city and a team name. Disney is the uniform logo sponsor for this sunny city and their team.
NBA?
NBA.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Let's take a minute here. Let's just, yeah, these are NBA, basketball, ball goes in the hoop. That's the one. Disney. Who would Disney sponsor? All right, answers up. Dana says Orlando Magic. Chris says Orlando Magic. Oh, I see where you're going. Karen says Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. Yeah. It is, in fact, the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Sorry. It is the... I was like, oh, Los Angeles Angels. And I was like, wait, that's the wrong sport.
Calling the team the Magic was, in part, a deliberate nod to Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
They almost called it the Heat.
There were actually four names. Yeah, they narrowed it down. It was the Heat, the Magic, the Tropics, or the Juice. And then, of course, they ended up using Heat
for Miami.
That's right, for the other Florida team. The Harley Davidson Motorcycle Company logo adorns the jerseys of this Midwestern city's team. Harley Davidson, where are they based? Where is Harley Davidson? The city gets a little cold in the winters. They have a proud... okay, no hints.
What?
Doesn't matter if the teams are like high performing or not. Or is it mostly local?
It really doesn't. Okay, there's one basketball team, you know, in town. In terms of, you know, major corporation marketing dollars, it's actually rather affordable for the contracts that they're signing.
Okay.
All right, answers up. Let's take some guess here. All right, Karen says Chicago Bulls. Good guess. It's not correct.
Oh.
Chris says the Aspen Extreme. I like it.
Team name.
That's a good wrong answer. Dana said the Cleveland Cavaliers. A good answer, not correct. No, it is Milwaukee is the proud home of the Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Company. The Milwaukee, the Bucks. All right. The Goodyear Tire Corporation.
Wow, I have no idea where they are.
Their iconic Wingfoot logo can be found on the NBA jerseys of this team or city, depending on how you want to answer. Goodyear, the Goodyear Rubber and Tire Company. Tires are very strongly associated with this city and this region. If you know anything about rubber or the tire industries.
I don't know.
The team's name may have come up already. Goodyear Tires.
All right,
answers up. They are headquartered in and they sponsor. Dana smartly has written, again, Cleveland Cavaliers. Correct. Yes. Chris has written the Detroit Devils. And Karen has gone again with Chicago Bulls. I like the doubling of the answers.
Well, you said it was wrong.
No, it is the Cavs. General Electric is the uniform sponsor for this Eastern Cities team, where they only just recently moved their headquarters. Eastern City, General Electric. I would venture to say well-known even by non-basketball people. All right, answers up. Chris says the Philadelphia Basketballers.
That's well-known.
They're a good team. They're good. They're going to surprise a lot of people this year. Karen and Dana have both written New York Knicks. Up until a few years ago, that would be the right city, at least. They have moved their headquarters to Boston. They sponsor the Boston Celtics now. Yeah, although they still maintain major offices in New York. Right.
It's from 30 Rock.
Yes.
It just in the last couple years have they moved to Boston. Close it out here with a couple food-related ones. Zatarain's Foods is no doubt proud to see their logo on the jerseys of this team in a city renowned for its great food. Zatarain's Foods. What city's team do they sponsor? And if you'd like to take a guess at the name of the team that plays there.
Yeah,
or if you'd like to make something up. Okay, answer's up. Karen has both parts correct. She wrote NOLA, which cool people call New Orleans. The New Orleans Pelicans, yes. Mm. Chris has written New Orleans, the New Orleans Popeyes, which I like the food theme
Thank you.
And Dana, that's the best answer. The New Orleans Funeral Parades. That's good. So Zatarain's Foods, it is very well known in New Orleans.
Zatarain's.
They are a legitimate New Orleans company. They were founded in New Orleans in 1886 by Emile Zatarain. The family no longer owns the business. It's owned by McCormick, the spice company. Okay. So it's in good hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, last one. Closing it out here. Blue Diamond Almonds. Almonds entered a jersey sponsorship agreement with this Western team. What do you know about almonds? What do you know about almonds? Blue
They're
Diamond.
From California.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, answers up. Both Dana and Karen have correctly written the Sacramento Kings. Blue Diamond Growers. They are founded and based out in Sacramento.
Agriculture.
California heartland there. Chris, what was your answer?
The LA Lakers.
Yeah.
Not all teams got a sponsor, right?
It's up to the team if they want to chase a sponsorship. Virtually, if you're in a major market team, you went out and got that money. Yeah. So the Warriors, being the reigning NBA champion, and being in a huge media market area, they had the biggest contract. So they signed a $20 million a year contract with an international company. They're one of the teams that did not, maybe surprisingly, you'd think, oh my God, but you know what? There's so much money in the Bay Area. Like, does Apple or Google or Facebook need to sponsor a team? You know, probably not.
Thing.
Yeah. It is Rakuten, actually, the Japanese e-commerce company. There are some out-of-city sponsors, like Fitbit sponsors the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Knicks are sponsored by Squarespace, of all things.
Oh, well, they're in New York.
our web host, yeah. StubHub sponsors the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, weird. Okay. Because they're based here.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just who's available and on TV
and
lot.
The
right.
Price.
So with the final tallies, I'm scoring in, again, Whose Line Is Anyway Style. I'm going to give 1,000 points to everybody. You guys all win.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Dana has best fake answer, though, with the New Orleans Funeral Parade.
That's very good.
That would be a good team.
I would go see them.
New Orleans Funeral.
They'd open up the audience to like more emo people.
Oh, the Funies. To the Funies game?
The Funies.
Yeah.
That's so good. All right, my turn, you guys. And I was originally going to do another round of international covers. Where I play a cover, a famous song that's sung in English. And then it's being covered by another artist in a different language. I've exhausted a lot of the good ones
I am amazed at the ones that you find.
They're good.
Yeah,
they're good.
I have to say.
So here's a little twist. I'm doing it the other way. I have found English-speaking pop stars and singers singing in a different language.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So your challenge is to identify who is singing and what language are they singing in.
This is very rare. So when I first took a trip to France and Spain when I was in high school, and I was just getting into Fleetwood Mac at that point, and like bought some Fleetwood Mac CDs and brought them home. And I'm like, oh, Mom, I you know, when we were in Spain at this music store, like I got some Fleetwood Mac CDs. My mom's like, they're singing in Spanish? And I was like, no. I was like, how would that? She really thought it would be literally
to translate them for the market.
All singing in languages that they do not actually speak. I was like, that's not what they do. And sometimes that does happen. But it's very rare.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I'm saying like Motown era. They would record the songs in, well, English being the big hit, and then like a localized, like a German version or Italian version.
The Beatles, right? Famously, Sie Liebig, right?
In German. And of course, you know, they get a lot of heat for, you know, their pronunciation, whatever. They realize that, like, the fans in other places want to see them perform in English, and they all sing to the English songs anyway. Yeah. So this kind of localized market is more of
it wasn't necessary.
Yeah, yeah, right, not right, necessary yeah. anymore. Yeah. All right, let's start easy and we'll go hard. Here we go. Who is singing and what language is this being sung in?
Okay.
All right.
Answers up. Colin, you said ABBA, German. Dana, ABBA, German. And then Chris says ABBA, Swedish. It is German.
Okay.
It's actually German. Yeah. They actually recorded Waterloo in a lot of languages.
Really? Oh,
and they were ABBA, you know, to their credit, actually performed all of them pretty well. Here we go. The next one. Name the artist, name the language. You probably know the song.
Wow, I had no idea. I had no idea.
Okay. Language is actually really hard. Like, the pronunciation is kind of weird.
It was weird.
It's kind of weird. All right. Colin, you said?
Diana Ross. And in? Francais.
French.
Is it the Supremes in Spanish?
Is it Diana Ross in Spanish?
It is the Supremes in Italian.
Ah.
Wow. It sounded like Chinese.
It's I mean,
we
it's
all
not
circled
very...
around the romance language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tutti. Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. More recent hit. This must be love. All right, answers up, round the table. Colin, your guesses.
Me. Who's
it's
the
okay.
singer? I put Miley Cyrus in Japanese.
I put Gwen Stefani in Japanese.
Mm. I put a bunch of question marks in Japanese.
Well, it is in Japanese. Yeah. That was Charlie XCX.
Oh, that's right. I was like, who is that? I knew it wasn't Miley.
Charlie XCX.
I thought it was too
cool.
She had
a lot of hits.
XCX?
How do you spell that?
The letter C.
Yeah. You're a great straight man. Yeah, you're too good of a straight man. Yeah. Because we thought you were doing a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No.
I was like, I got dead jokes.
Yeah, no, I thought he was doing a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
So here we go. Now we're moving into singers not singing their own songs.
Okay. Ramping it up.
And hopefully you can tell by their voice. Here we go. The end with, you know, the runs.
You can imagine her kicking her leg going, you know,
runs. All right, answers up, Colin.
I've got Chinese, and I've got the greatest singer in the world, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion Chinese?
Oh, I put Mariah Carey in Chinese.
It is Celine Dion singing Mandarin Chinese at the New Year's Eve celebration in China.
I bet that was so popular.
It's a spectacle. A lot of synchronized dancers, ribbons.
I believe it.
She is singing a very, very traditional, old-timey Chinese, kind of not really a lullaby, like a standard.
Yeah.
But she is
you
a
know, like opera singers have to sing in all sorts of languages all the
That's
time.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. And one more bonus. This is not a singer, but this person does sing.
Okay.
You can name this celebrity.
Not a singer, but they do sing. Okay.
Mostly known for acting.
Bruce Willis.
I have a couple guesses.
Singing in Chinese. Mandarin, right. Also Mandarin Chinese.
Fun.
Here we go.
Okay. All right.
给我一个王，可以不可以？梦在我的脸上留个标记。给我一个王，可以不可以？哦，哦。
Interesting.
I started to write David Hasselhoff, but then I'm like, oh no, that's someone who can actually sing.
Well, I mean, oh, that's true. He has released albums before.
I have a guess. No, sorry. Right. I have a guess.
Okay,
I have
Let's wait. Chris is going to go first.
I said Hugh Jackman.
That's what I said.
That's what Hugh Jackman. Put too.
Yes,
I scribbled
it
in.
Mr. Wolverine himself.
Yeah.
Right.
He's
the
good singer.
It's
yeah.
funny because he's singing in Chinese and I can hear the accent, but I also hear like an Australian accent, oddly enough, too. It's very strange. But good job, you guys.
Oh, wow. I am continually impressed when you put these together. Yeah.
It's hard to
I believe
to find
it.
Them.
I believe
I really
it.
To...
No, that's good. That's good.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles. Smart trivia. Good job, brain.
You got a lot of pieces of paper, Dana.
I'm trying a thing out with you guys.
Are we your guinea pigs?
You're my guinea pigs. You're always my guinea pigs. And my muses. My trivia muses.
Imagine, like, yeah, guinea pigs in togas and Greek flowy clothes.
So I'm going to try a multiple choice quiz with you guys because I got super into HQ trivia for a little bit. The answers are interesting or
funny. They write really good bad answers.
Yeah.
They're wrong answers.
They're great good, at writing answers. Questions. They're really, really good questions. You ready? Question number one. What's Kim Kardashian West's emoji set called? Are they Kardashies, Kimicons, or Kimojis?
Ooh.
Answer is C, Kimojis. Everybody got it right.
If it wasn't Kimojis, I was going to call foul. Like,
yeah,
that's too
I'm going to go register an emoji.
All right.
Change your name to Kim.
Question number two. What kind of dino poop gets examined in the famous Jurassic Park poop scene? Is it A, Tyrannosaur, B, Triceratops, or C, Velociraptor? What kind of poop? Do they look at Tyrannosaur, Triceratops, or Velociraptor?
In the original first.
Yes, in the first movie. There's all those gifts of Jeff Goldblum standing next to a huge pile of poop. What kind of poop is that? Ready? Everybody. Oh.
No.
No, no, no. So the answer is B, Triceratops.
Yay!
It was a sick herbivore.
A pregnant Triceratops. I believe. She's not sick. She's pregnant.
Wow.
I think it'd be rough to stick your arm into like a carnivore's poop. Question number three. Which of these is a true statement about the Venus de Milo? A, she has no arms. B, she's standing on a seashell. Or C, she's wearing a seashell bra. The Venus de Milo, is she on? She doesn't have arms. She's on a seashell, or she has a seashell bra.
Nice.
It's funny because bra in French is arm.
Oh. So she has a seashell arm. That's quite, D is the option. Yep, everybody said A, no arms. No arms is correct. That's the statue at the Louvre.
Yes.
And if you thought, oh, she's standing on the seashell, you might be thinking of Botticelli's
Birth of Venus.
Birth of Venus. If you thought it was a seashell
bra, you're thinking of
Aries.
The Little Mermaid.
That is correct. All right. Number four. Which of these Sesame Street characters was played by a real bird? Is it A, Linda, B, Bernice, or C, Dorothy?
What?
Which of these was a bird, a real bird on Sesame Street? Not a Muppet. Huh. Not a person in a bird outfit. An actual bird. Linda, Bernice, or Dorothy?
All right.
People with little kids maybe know.
I have a child.
Do you know for sure?
I believe I do, yes.
All right. What did you say?
I said Bernice just because I was going for the alliteration.
Me too.
Also said Bernice.
It is Bernice.
Bernice, the bird.
Well, that was process of elimination for me because I know Linda is a human and Dorothy is the goldfish.
Yes. Dorothy's almost... Goldfish.
Oh, right.
Like, she's played by actual fish. But Bernice is Bert's pigeon.
That's cute.
He taught her how to play checkers.
Cute. That's so cute.
All right.
Bert and Bernice.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
In The Three Musketeers, who does not start the book as a musketeer?
Oh.
Is it D'Artagnan, Aramis, or Porthos? A, B, or C? D'Artagnan, Aramis, or Porthos?
100%. Watch, I'm going to get it wrong.
Okay, what are your answers? Did everybody say A, D'Artagnan? If you did, you are correct.
Yay!
It is A, D'Artagnan.
Thank you, Chris O'Donnell.
The Winston Zeddemore of the of the Musketeers.
That's a good analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah, at the beginning of the book, he wants to be a part of the Musketeers. He doesn't make the cut. He goes to a bar. He meets the three Musketeers. Athos, Porthos, and Aramis. And eventually he becomes... Spoiler alert, sorry. Which of these was known as the widow? The Catherine Wheel, the Iron Maiden, or the Guillotine?
Ooh.
The widow. They are all execution devices, little hint. The Catherine Wheel, the Iron Maiden, or the Guillotine?
I don't even know what a Catherine Wheel is.
It's bad.
Yeah, none of these are nice things.
It's not a good way to go. You know? I mean, all things considered, if I had to go, I would choose the Guillotine.
All right.
Ooh.
A guillotine, a Catherine wheel, and a Catherine wheel. It's a guillotine.
Oh.
The guillotine.
The guy who invented the guillotine was like Dr. Guillotin.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
He didn't want it named after him.
No, the family was horrified.
Right.
There were a lot of names for the guillotine.
Yeah.
And some of those names were the National Razor, the Regretful Climb, and the Patriotic Shortener. Cut your head off and make you a little shorter for the cause. In the northern hemisphere, which of these days has the longest or the largest amount of sunlight? Is it June 1st, July 1st, or August 1st?
Ooh, okay. In the northern hemisphere, largest amount of sunlight.
Like the longest day.
Okay. What, and then June 1st, July 1st?
First or August 1st? So now we're in the HQ trivia territory where you have to know a couple pieces of information and synthesize them.
Colin none of
says
them.
July. Karen says June. Chris says July. It's July because the solstice is June 21st, or the days get longer leading up to it, and then they get shorter on the other side. But it's symmetrical, so July 1st is closer to June 21st than June 1st would be. Yeah. Which Mario character would be of the most interest to a mycologist? Is it Luigi, Yoshi, or Toad? Everybody said C, Toad. That's correct. A mycologist studies mushrooms. Toad is a mushroom person. Luigi's...
Which I'm sure the mycologist would be very interested in.
Yeah. How does your brain function? And
I took your hat off.
Well, I have the right people at the table. Didn't I just read that, didn't they settle in canon recently once and for all that his head is a mushroom, it's not a mushroom hat?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But like
they wear hats.
Okay, yeah. So if he took off his hat, I'm imagining he has like a mushroom print hat, takes it off, and it's a mushroom underneath.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a shower cap.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what do you mean that was finally settled? Like, what? People were really confused.
Somebody from Nintendo finally said, no, that's his head.
Yeah.
He can't take that off.
I did include Princess Peach because she's the princess of the Mushroom Kingdom. So
right.
It wasn't 100% that she's not a mushroom. Mm-hmm. She might be a part mushroom. I think she is, actually, because her dad kind of looks like a mushroom, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well,
yeah.
Her dad is really get it.
She's mushroom on her father's side.
The thing with her dad is that, like, maybe, you know, there's no real canon definition of what it is. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
That's interesting.
The John Leguizamo movie, the dad was like an actual, like, fungus growth.
Right. That so is as maybe. Far from Mario
yeah,
canon.
Yeah,
yes. It's canon.
Yeah.
They allow. Okay. Last question. In the NATO alphabet, which letter is associated with an American dance?
Oh.
A dance that originated in America. Is it W, T, or F? Everybody said F for foxtrot. T is a dance, it's a tango, but it's Argentinian. And W is whiskey, which not an official dance.
That's good. I like the distractor with the tango in there. That's good.
Yeah. Good job, you guys.
All right.
That's good.
I, too, have prepared a music quiz for this wonderful all quiz episode. There is a theme to these songs. You have to guess the theme after the first one. Because once you hear the second one, the theme will be so obvious that it doesn't even really qualify as a question anymore.
What, really?
Okay. So you have one shot.
Oh, man. All right.
To guess the theme. Your one shot.
I like
it. You got to get it in one or you don't get it at all.
I like it.
Okay. All right. So here, assuming it's going to play.
There's no pattern established at
all. Nope. Okay. No. You get it in one or you get it in none. That's it. Okay.
All right.
Here is clip number one. Tell me the artist and tell me the theme of this round.
Enjoy the ride. Don't need a reason why. Everything's alright.
Why does that sound familiar?
Who knows? Gee, I don't know, Karen. Why does it sound so familiar? You, at this point, I'm going to give you another 5 seconds or so to lock in those answers. I'm looking for the name of the artist singing that song and also the theme of this music round. This is your one shot to get the theme. Everybody has now had time to lock in your answers. Let's see what we got. Karen says Britney, as in Britney Spears, and you've written down commercial for the theme. Colin, what did you write
down? I wrote Britney and commercial celebrity endorsements.
Uh-huh. And yes, and Dana wrote down Britney Spears commercial songs. Yes,
wow.
Indeed.
I can't even tell you what
well,
that
here's
song
the thing. This is going to be even more specific than simply commercial songs. So if anybody wants to try the more specific theme,
more specific
than simply commercials.
Okay.
Extra point if you can absolutely nail it, even more specific than simply add jingles or add songs. Karen says soft drinks. Colin says Pepsi Cola.
Oh.
Dana says Coke jingles. So yes, these are four soft drinks.
All right.
Yeah,
soft beer singing a song and then including the ba 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 Pepsi jingles.
The joy of cola.
Yes, indeed. So these are all from TV commercials.
Oh, man.
For most of it's Pepsi or Coke. Most of it's Pepsi or Coke, Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke. They may all be Pepsi and Coke, actually. Only because those are just such big brands. But
just
this is
one
all,
Fanta ad snuck
all
in there.
All of this is, well, there was Britney, but a lot of this is like just during that 1980s rock and roll, cola wars. We didn't start the fire. Okay, here is question number two. There is going to be a chance for a bonus point because you can tell me A, the musical talent that is singing this song, the performing artist, and also B, the name of the then child actor who danced along with said musical talent in the commercial.
Okay.
You're the best generation. Girls are down and there's the thrill of the day.
Like this child became an actor or is a
no,
child
he was at
actor?
That point he oh, was okay, a child okay, actor. Okay. He's an adult now. But at the time he was definitely a child actor. Dancer. Well known as a dancer at that point.
And
danced alongside
the person singing. Who was this? This was a big deal. Who was this? It was
known for dancing at the time.
Oh my god, yeah.
Now known for acting, but was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
So
Oh man.
Yeah, more recently. All right. Anyway,
Michael Jackson and Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman. Okay.
I originally wrote Emmanuel Lewis.
Generation and the child actors of the time. Yeah. So everybody has gotten it right with Michael Jackson.
Who's the kid? Who was
joined by a young dancer starting to make his name at that time. It was in this commercial with him. Alfonso Ribeiro Jr.
Yes.
Carlton.
TV's Carlton.
Yes.
Was in this. Yeah.
It's so funny that he's known for being a bad dancer.
Yeah.
Like doing the Carlton. That's very true,
Karen. That's very true. All right. We're going to, change it up again a little bit. I'm going to play you this next one. This has two individual musical artists in it, but known for their solo careers, but performing a duet here in this commercial. Tell me who the two singers are. There's a male singer, there's a female singer.
Okay.
And now you have 1 point for each.
Not far the way it goes down easy.
Not far the way it puts a smile on your face.
Not far the way it branches a fixer.
Oh my god.
I want to hear it again because it's such a banger.
Oh my god.
Not for the way it goes down easy.
Not for the way it puts a smile on your face.
Not for the way it branches a fixer.
Not for the way it puts a show on you.
Just one reason.
Just one reason.
To be, if this is not the only time they have ever performed together. I think it is. It should be the last time. They should never do it again. But like, it's really something. When you consider how distinct
those voices don't go together.
They're like, we need to merge this demographic with this demographic.
Like, you are precisely right. So, Karen says Paula Abdul and Tom Jones, and Elton John and Paula Abdul is what Colin and Dana both say. Yes, Colin and Dana, you get 2 points. These is Elton John, Sir Elton John, and Dame Paula Abdul. So this next Coca-Cola commercial, it is a performance group. If you give me the name of the group that is singing this song. It is not an individual, it is a group.
Okay.
Here we go.
I like to teach the world to sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
I like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys this. This group was formed explicitly to sing this song in this commercial. So this is a you know it or you don't, but you can see this is a trivia question.
Yeah.
Like, this is very much a do you know this piece of obscure knowledge. Karen says the World Choir. Colin says...
I just put up with people to have an answer, but I know that's not it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's not it.
And what did you put?
The band?
Oh, the band.
Mm.
They're like a...
There is a band called The Band. Yeah. But yeah.
So this song, by the way, it started as this Coke commercial, like the most famous commercial ever, right? Of a group of teens, young people, standing on a hill singing this song about Coke. It became such a hit that they actually turned it into a non-Coke related song.
Yeah.
But this original one was performed, the group that they formed was called The Hillside Singers.
Yes. It was like the Hillside Singers.
It's what they are. They are who they are. They're people standing on the hill, literally standing on a hill singing this song.
That's what it is.
The Hillside Singers. Okay. Just two more for you guys. Here is another one. Please name the recording artist.
I didn't know there was some. I didn't even know there were Diet Coke songs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just for the taste of it.
Yeah, like aerobics commercial.
And then you had to fit their format. It was always just for the.
Everybody says Whitney Houston. Everybody is correct. Okay, this is it. It's the last one. Here we go. This could really change. Well, at this point, basically, Colin, you've got 8. Dana, you've got 8, and Karen, you have got 7.
All right.
So somebody could pull ahead. Karen could tie it up. I don't know what's going to happen. For this one, you're going to tell me the name of the group. It's a performing group again. And then tell me the specific Coca-Cola product that they are selling.
Group and product.
Group and product. So a potential 2 points.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, Coke is it. Come on, check it out now. It's got a new taste. It's a definite wow.
I'm gonna play it. I'll play it again for you guys as you guys locked are writing some stuff down. Dana's got it locked down.
Right, here group, we go. Yes.
I'm gonna. Yeah. It is a group. I'm gonna play it again.
Okay, I get it.
Colin gets it.
Colin thinks he got it. Colin's been embarrassed before.
Colin thinks that he got it. Colin thinks that he understands something about this.
Yeah.
So.
I see what you're getting at.
I don't know.
What does Dana have to say? You know what? I could tell you, or I could just let the group tell you themselves.
Hi, we're New Edition, and we're here to introduce the great new taste of Coca-Cola, the taste of today.
Yes, indeed, the product was New Coke. New Coke, the reformulated Coca-Cola of the mid-80s. It was a huge failure. Everybody hated. And the product was, or the band, rather, was New Edition. Yeah. New Edition, that early 80s group, which included Bobby Brown Belle, Biv, and DeVoe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't remember New Edition, that one.
New Coke. So, yeah, Colin put it together. Dana put it together. And that means that Colin and Dana are actually both tied with 10 points each.
You got
so congratulations.
Bobby and Whitney in one quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. So good job overall, everybody. Yay. Fun round.
That's good. Yeah. I had forgotten that Michael Jackson actually rewrote the lyrics to his own song.
To
Billie Jean. Like, that's like the second level of endorsement is we're not just writing you a check to sing, as we're taking your...
You know, what's funny? Yeah, so there's a lot of different Coke commercials that I went through, and it's like there's clearly tiers. There's like... rewrite your own song and make Billie Jean into a Pepsi song. I mean, that's got to be a bunch of money. Then the tier down is like, sing our dumb jingle about Diet Coke. And then a tier down from that is, you're not singing about the product at all. Like, there's a George Michael, I think, commercial that's either Coke or Pepsi, and there's another Whitney Houston one where they're in the commercials, and they're just singing their own song while Coke or Pepsi-related activity is going on around them. Yeah.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
I got a quiz for you. I have an international pie quiz.
Oh,
I have some questions about pies from around the world.
Whoa.
Interesting facts. Use your buzzers. We're going to buzz in our answers. Here we go. Invented in the Philippines and inspired by American apple pie, the buko pie swaps what ingredient instead of apples because they're not native to the Philippines?
Oh, I forgot. Dana's like still writing.
We've been writing so much. Yeah.
Colin.
Pineapple?
Incorrect.
Purple yams?
Incorrect.
Jackfruit?
Incorrect. It is young coconut.
Oh, okay.
Young coconut.
That sounds delicious.
It
sounds really
good. Sounds and looks delicious.
Have you
but
tried
those
it?
Those are all very good. No, but you can buy them, you know, at many Filipino or Asian supermarkets or grocery stores. Fun fact, so the inventor, the creator of this pie, she used to work as a maid in America and then decided to go back home to Philippines and want to open her bake shop. And she learned at her time in America to make apple pies. And she's like, well, apples aren't native to where we are. So her sister suggested using the flesh of a young coconut that kind of has a similar kind of consistency.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And buko pie.
Buko pie. Buko I have not pie. Heard of that. How do you spell that?
B-U-K-O.
All right.
Mm. All right. Maine's official state dessert is blueberry pie. Okay. They're famous for their wild blueberries. But what kind of pie is Maine's official state treat?
What kind of pie?
They have a treat that is not blueberry
state
pie.
Treat.
Colin.
Cream pie?
It is whoopie pie.
Not really a pie.
A state treat.
Right.
Whoopie pie. Yeah.
And that's marshmallow fluff, or what is
that
it?
That is the most basic and generic description is two pieces of chocolate cakes sandwiched with a white frosting. So it could be a cream frosting. It could be marshmallow fluff.
Okay.
I sell them at soul food places a lot.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Flipper pie from eastern Canada, like in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, Newfoundland, is literally made of flippers of what animal? Chris.
Seals?
It is seals. The harp seal.
Really?
Yes, yes. I mean, a lot of cultures up there.
Yeah, it's you know,
also
sealing.
That used to be a byproduct, or, you know, they are the flippers, and they would
I guess you're right. The seal skins,
I read somewhere that they actually have, like, fake versions of it in the grocery store.
Mock
like the
flipper.
Frozen.
Mock turtle.
Mock flipper pie.
Faux-per.
Mock seal.
Well, like, you know, mock shark fin soup and things
like that. Yeah,
yeah,
imitation.
True.
The tarte tatin is a French equivalent of an apple pie. But unlike most tarts and pies, it is baked in what unusual way?
Huh.
Colin.
By the sun.
No. Chris.
Upside down.
Upside down. You cook the apples first, then you put the pastry, and then you flip it over when it's done.
Oh, okay, right.
Yep.
It's part of the upside down cake family.
Yes, the upside down foods.
Yes, it's a rich taxonomy.
Derby pie is a chocolate and nut pie commonly made with what other ingredient that's referenced in its name? Derby pie. Dana.
Horses?
You're so shocked.
It's like
at the seal question. Incorrect.
Horses?
Oh, God.
It could be anything. It's really
If we've gone to seal flippers, really.
Yeah, Chris.
Hats?
It's like you bake it in a hat.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
maybe.
It's a surrealist pie.
Okay, not horses, not hats.
The answer is the ingredient is Kentucky bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Fun. Wow, not fun. It's more like whoa, these people are pretty aggressive fact. So the Derby pie, we don't really know the exact recipe because it's made secret. But, I mean, they're kind of copycats. Or not copycats, but like references
made by
to
drunk
it.
People.
Derby pie was created in a restaurant in Kentucky in the 1950s. And that family not only trademarked the pie's name and recipe, but has been aggressively going after cookbooks, and whatnot, trying to defend the trademark, you know, from the 1950s well into now. Okay. They'll go after internet sites and, you know, any people
that's
who are
tough,
like a derby pie.
So don't call it a derby pie.
Yeah.
Basically.
So
right.
Other people try to get around it.
Yeah.
Like Kentucky pie with chocolate and
right.
nuts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Pegasus pie because that's their the derby animal.
Mm-hmm. It makes you fly. Yep.
Last question. Originated from Dutch settlers, the Melktart is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it sounds like Melktart.
Sure.
Is a pie crust filled with creamy milk custard with a bit of cinnamon and became a traditional and national favorite of what country?
Oh.
Originated from Dutch settlers.
Dutch settlers, okay.
Man, they settled a lot.
They settled a lot. They
sure did.
They sure did.
Became...
Oh, Dana.
Indonesia?
No.
South Africa.
South Africa! Traditional dessert now in South Africa. Huh. The milk tart.
That sounds good.
It actually looks... good.
Okay. And she got real serious there.
I want to end my quiz with this. There is a pie I found from Cornwall in the UK. It is a pie full of fish, potatoes, and eggs in a pastry.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to have the whole fish head, multiple fish heads poking out of the pie looking up.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that on the internet. It looks like something somebody just came up with as like a joke for a Far Side cartoon.
These beautiful pies with just fish heads poking out looking at the sky. It's called the Stargazy Pie.
Because
the fish are looking up
at
the sky.
Oh, stars.
Wow. Well, you know, it's like the saying goes, keep your feet planted in the pie, keep reaching for the stars.
And we're back into present day.
We all sounded so young and hopeful.
Mm.
A different type of energy I hear in my voice.
Pre-COVID, pre-baby.
Colin, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so this may be broadly and unactually, but these questions were true at the time that I asked them. So I have some updates, let's say, not corrections as much as updates to my quiz on the NBA hometown logo sponsors. This was a new feature then going way back in 2018 of NBA teams, professional basketball here, wearing corporate logo sponsors on their jerseys. And the quiz was, of course, if you could match the hometown sponsor of a variety of NBA teams. Out of the six, four are no longer accurate answers. So let's update you here. Two of them are the same. The Orlando Magic, still proudly sponsored by Disney, Walt Disney World, of course, right there in Orlando, Disney logo on their jerseys. The Cleveland Cavaliers, still continually since then, have been sponsored by Goodyear. The ones that have changed, the Sacramento Kings, no longer sponsored on their jersey by Blue Diamond Almonds. They are now sponsored by Dialpad, which is a corporate kind of business digital communications messaging. They're at least California based. They're based in San Ramon, but the New Orleans Pelicans, sadly, no longer sponsored by Zatarain's.
Oh, that was so perfect.
That was really my favorite one. It just seemed like just such a natural fit. The New Orleans Pelicans, their current jersey logo sponsor is Ibotta. You guys know that site?
Yeah,
Ibotta.
No.
It's like deals or cashback.
Mm. The Boston Celtics, no longer sponsored by GE General Electric. They are currently sponsored by Vista Print, a service that I've used in the past. Yeah, you know. The print-on-demand service. And then the Milwaukee Bucks, no longer sponsored by hometown Harley-Davidson Motorcycles, sponsored by the Motorola Corporation, which has, one of the all-time great, great logos, of course, that bat wing M, the Motorola M. So here's what's funny to me, anyway. Motorola not only sponsors the Milwaukee Bucks, they also sponsor the Indiana Pacers. So they've got their logo on two teams. And prior to this season, they also sponsored the Brooklyn Nets. Like, whoa, somebody in the Motorola, marketing department is like, we're just getting great return on this investment. We're going for basically 10% of the teams in the league here. But yeah,
snag
right
it all
now.
Up.
And they are based in Chicago. So neither Milwaukee nor Indianapolis is their hometown. But so yeah, kind of the underpinning of that quiz has really fallen apart in the 4 years since we recorded it. Yeah.
Well, my quiz is rock solid. Nothing changed about vintage soda commercials. The Elton John, Paula Abdul thing is still just like
hot mess.
Yeah, and then mine, HQ Trivia.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
We outlasted HQ Trivia. We were there before. No, we lasted longer.
Now it's Wordle.
Yeah.
And what's next?
In 5 years, we'll be like, Wordle, you remember that? That was everybody was doing
Everybody used to wake up in the morning and do the Wordle. Oh, my God. What are we doing?
And then for my quiz, now listening back for the pie quiz, like, man, that was really, really hard. And I think because maybe I didn't write the questions well enough. Just had like my pie blinders on. I was like, I know so much about pies, but like regular people are not that pie fluent.
You're so deep in the pie.
We don't actually know what other people know about pies. It's possible there's like thousands of people in their car like, oh my God, the pie quiz. I've been waiting my whole life for the pie quiz. This was, it was perfect.
Yeah. You're really doing a lot for the pie community, Karen.
Yes. Always a supporter, always an ally to pies.
I think I would have to say that I think where we really had egg on our faces that episode was when we predicted that there would never be a massive global pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, big oops there. Prediction.
Yeah.
Wait, did we say that?
No.
Can I tell you, so many of the questions I got on the quiz, I was like, I knew that? What?
There was que sera, sera Doris Day. Like, I re-listened to it. I'm like, Doris Day. Say it myself, Doris Day. I didn't know it. So, I mean, it must have stuck with me.
Yeah, I cannot believe I do Hurricane Andrew from 1992, the most cost. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? Like, I wouldn't bet even a penny of my own money today that I would know
Hurricane
that.
Hurricane Andrew. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody here and everybody listening for this lovely time travel from the vault special episode. It is our season finale, so we'll be back later this year for another season. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about outdated NBA jersey sponsorship, pies, soda commercials, HQ trivia. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps. And on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The Explorers Podcast, Monster Talk, and Pirate History Podcast. And we'll see you guys later this year.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.